Activia International and www.netivyahinternational.org.
Shalom, it's Friday afternoon, February 9th, 2024. We're the 126th day of the war with the Hamas in Gaza, and almost the same number of days with the Hezbollah north of Israel on the Lebanese border. And I watched the beginning of the proceedings of the International Court of Justice in The Hague in Holland a couple of weeks ago, where South Africa accused Israel of genocide. One of the things that they brought is the fact that one of the ministers of Israel quoted from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 25 that has a command to the children of Israel when they were still in the wilderness, before they even entered the land, to remember the Amalek. Remember the Amalek, and I will return in this teaching to this text from Deuteronomy. But first I want to play you a song by Elvis Presley from old people. People don't know that, but he was quite religious. He had issued 18 records with gospel music, and Ray Walker and the Jordaniers were people that I knew. I knew Ray Walker himself. He was the head of the Jordaniers. They were the group that accompanied Elvis throughout all of his career until he died. And they were very religious. Ray Walker was a song leader at church in Nashville. And his brother was a song leader at the church in Nashville. And most of them came from the Churches of Christ in the South, especially in Tennessee, and they accompanied Elvis Presley throughout his career. But he had a song about memory, and I want to play for you a part of that song of Elvis Presley's about memory.
Memories press between the pages of my mind.
There are lots of songs about memories. Barbara Streisand, and I can't even name all of the famous singers that had songs entitled Memories. Now, in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, there are 14 commands by God for us to remember things. 14 commands for us to remember things, and some of them are very important. We are commanded, for example, to remember the flood. Yep, the flood. We weren't there, luckily. My name was not Noah, never was. And I didn't build an ark. And if I would have been a member of that generation, I probably would have died together with everybody else in the flood. Now you say flood was a myth. Well, it's an interesting myth because it appears in Babylonian text, Assyrian text, South American Indian texts, North American Indian texts. Take about 30 different stories of a flood, of universal flood, all the way to faraway continents away from the Middle East. So I believe there was a real flood. Yes. And when it was, I have no idea. I don't know when Noah lived. But the world was bad. And God destroyed that world and saved only 8 souls. Noah, his 3 sons, his wife, and the 3 brides of his sons. They were married. They got saved. And so we are commanded at the end of the story of the flood to remember the flood. And God gave us something to remember the flood by, and the promises of God after the flood. And that is the rainbow in the skies when it rains and sun shines on the rain. And we see a wonderful, colorful rainbow, sometimes from horizon to horizon over Jerusalem from my porch, I see. Yeah, remembering is an important thing. The thing that motivated me now to do this lesson on memory is actually the fact that in the International Court of Justice in The Hague in Holland, the South African procurator, attorney accused one of the members of our parliament in Israel, quoting from the Bible, from Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 17, that God commands the children of Israel while they were still in the wilderness, remember what Amalek did to you on your journey after you left Egypt. How, undeterred by fear of God, he surprised you on the march when you were famished and worried, and cut down all the stragglers in your rear. Verse 19. Therefore, when your God grants you safety from all your enemies around you, in the land that your God is giving you as an inheritance, as a hereditary portion, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. Do not forget. This quote was one of the reasons why the South African government accused Israel in the International Court of Justice in Holland, in The Hague, of genocide. No less of genocide. Israel is the only nation in the world that over centuries there have been many, many practical, planned, engineered, prepared for attempts to delete the Jewish nation off the face of the earth. And there are still such attempts and desires and constitutions of countries like Iran who have that in their legal, national agenda. The same thing is with the charter of the Hamas. One of the purposes of the existence of Hamas is to wipe out all the Jews out of the Middle East, to delete the nation of Israel from the face of the earth. And the duplicity, the hypocrisy of European countries, and not only European countries, also some South American and sometimes even some North American, have forgotten who is Israel, where it comes from. Amalek, it's easy to find out who they are. They don't exist anymore. Not as an entity, not as a terror group, not as a nation, not members of the UN, not members of UNESCO, not members of anything. They don't exist. But Amalek was the grandson of Esau, the brother of Jacob. So he's kind of a cousin, nephew, the way you want to describe him. But his hate already in the Bible and his tactics were already in the Bible illegal and hypocritical and evil. He was hitting the stragglers, the weak people that were walking slower than the rest of the camp, that were dragging their feet in the back of the camp. Amalek didn't come to confront in the front, face on, but like terrorists from the backside, hitting the weak, the not ready, the unprepared. Yes, that's Amalek. So we are commanded to remember the Amalek and to remember our obligations to Amalek and to remember whatever God has commanded us to remember. That is include one of the first ones, even before Amalek in the book of Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The Jewish people remember the Sabbath day. Even those Jewish people that don't keep the Sabbath day the way the Orthodox Jews do, or as strictly as the Orthodox Jews do, they remember the Sabbath day. Why? Because it was a gift from God. I already probably told that story more than once. In 2010, I was invited by the government of one of the big states in China to come as a guest. They invited me. They got my tickets. The security people came and picked me up from the descent from the airplane. They carried my luggage. They had a limousine for me, and they took me for lunch. I landed around 11, so they took me for lunch in a very nice, huge restaurant. The menu of the restaurant was like as thick as a book. Had everything. Whatever you can eat, whatever you never want to eat, whatever you never dreamt of eating. But I found good things to eat. One of the things that I ate, and I remember, was chicken feet. Not the thigh, the feet. The feet of the chicken. I used to get that in my home when my mother used to cook the chicken on Friday afternoon. I love the feet of the chicken. And the Chinese love them also. So I got that. But the vice president of Wubei is the one who invited me. And I spent several hours in a discussion with her in her office after the lunch. And then she prepared an itinerary for me to teach in several of the most important Christian seminaries in China, because the Chinese government supports the seminaries that produce pastors, that lead churches. There is a catch to it. They have to be card-carrying members of the Chinese Communist Party, but it's okay. They can be believers and communists as well. Yes, they can be. My mother was. Yes. She first kicked me out of the house. Many years later, probably 7 years later, she herself became a believer and remained a socialist, remained a communist. Yes, she was one of the ideologies of the communist Bulgarian Communist Party. Yeah. And communism is not from God, but capitalism is also not from God. So relax. So the Chinese vice president of Wubei told me she read the Bible, And I asked her why. She said because the Bible was the oldest communist book. And it says in the Bible, first place, that it says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So that found favor in her eyes. And she enjoyed that text from the Apostle Paul. But also the Sabbath day. And she said, you know, if it wasn't for the Sabbath day, workers would not get day off. Workers get day off because of the biblical idea that workers deserve a day off, whether it's the seventh day or another day in different Chinese settings. But yes, the Bible is influenced, and we are supposed to remember the Sabbath day. We are supposed to put it aside and not do on it like we do every other day of the week. But that's one thing we're supposed to remember. Supposed to remember that God delivered us from Egypt and he gave us a major holiday that even the Gentile Christians are commanded to observe it. Most don't. And they condemned me when I was already a believer and a preacher and an evangelist and established congregations in several places in the world because I kept the Passover. So the editor of the Gospel Advocate, Guy N. Woods, had influenced the elders in the city of Murfreesboro in Tennessee to sever all relationships with me. Now I got in the car, drove right to his office without an appointment, barged into his office and banged on the table, and he was a gentleman. And after explaining to him, showing him the text, that the church in Corinth was commanded, not recommended, commanded to observe the Passover and celebrate the Passover, including the cleaning of the leaven and including the cleaning of our heart from malice. He understood and corrected the situation. But it's in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8, as clear as ever, also the reason why Christians should celebrate the Passover and remember the Exodus from Egypt and remember Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God that was sacrificed to forgive our sins. It's a very interesting text. It's another lesson. It's a text that if you read Hebrew and you pay attention, you'll understand a lot of very interesting things about the gospel, about the death and the crucifixion of Jesus. From that text in Exodus chapter 12, the first four or five verses. But back to our thing, remembering. Remember, the Sabbath day appears more than one time. All total, there is 14 different commands to remember in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, from Genesis to the end of the Hebrew Bible, which is 2 Chronicles in Hebrew. It's Malachi in the English Bible. But remember is very important. It is both a laxative and an antibiotic and a power drink and a vitamin. It is a very powerful thing, the memory. We can remember wonderful things that happened to us. The love of our youth. I remember the day I met Marsha the first time. It was standing in line in the cafeteria in Lipscomb University in Nashville. She was in front of me in the line. That was the second time. The first time was in the student center on Saturday morning getting something to eat in the student center at David Lipscomb University in Nashville. That was the first time I met her, and I was myself, and she was herself, and we got together, and we found out that we knew some important people in her life and in my life, common friend. That was one of the things. But the main thing was, thanks to Coca-Cola. I asked to put a piece of lemon in my Coke, which in the South, in America, in the 1960s, it was very uncommon. They put cherry sauce or caramel sauce in the Coca-Cola, but not lemon. In Europe, they put lemon, and I asked, and in Israel, they put lemon, and I asked for lemon, and she said, "Ugh, ugh." I said, "Don't say ugh unless you taste it. Taste it." She tasted it. That was the end. Things go better with Coca-Cola. Yes, I remember. Very well. So keep the Sabbath day holy appears in Exodus and in Deuteronomy and in the holidays in the book of Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24. And in many places, 14 places total, we're commanded to remember. But what's most important, not only remember these big things, the Sabbath day, the flood, the Exodus, way in the past, more important to remember. Number one first. If I don't remember myself, that means I remember the good things about myself and also my mistakes. That means I remember my debts and try not to remember those that owe me. Try to forget them. But I remember my debts. I never forget them. That's why I don't have any debts. Not financial debts. Maybe some human debts of behavior I do have, and I remember them. Remember my mistakes. Like Frank Sinatra. Yes, we have to remember and not forget, because if we don't remember, we are doomed to repeat them. That was the great anti-Semitic historian, English historian, Arnold Toynbee, who said, whoever doesn't remember the past is doomed to repeat it. And there's a lot of truth in that statement, for nations and for individuals. So remember, yes. King Solomon. King Solomon says, quotes from Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. He doesn't quote, he wrote, according to the tradition, he wrote Ecclesiastes. So it says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the bad days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no desire for life, no desire for other things in life that are pleasurable and good. It's a description of what happens when you get old. That text from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, 5 is a text, wonderful text, one of my favorite texts. In fact, I painted it. I have a painting over here with that text. Not the words, the picture, the pictures that the words describe. Yes, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, in your young years, when you're capable to do things, to change in yourself, to change in your friends, to change in your families, to change in your congregation, remember, it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift from God. And I'll tell you a secret. I don't like cats. I don't want to touch them. I don't want to pet them. My wife and her family loves cats. They had 9 cats. I don't know how many cats they had in there when they were living in the in Pennsylvania and then in Tennessee. They had more than one cat. But those cats were outside. Those cats I like if they're on the outside. If they're on the outside. But I've been feeding nine cats in the yard. They don't come into the house. I don't touch them. Even if they want me to pet them, I don't pet them. But I feed 9 cats. All right. You know what? They remember me. They don't talk to me. I don't talk to them. But they remember me. The minute I come out of the door of my house, they come to me. Sometimes they roll in front of me. My granddaughter and my daughter, who love cats and have 2 cats in the house in a small apartment in California, they say that that's, and my son also loves cats and had a cat. They say that when a cat comes and rolls in front of you, it means he likes you and he wants you to pet him. I don't pet them. I don't touch them. But they remember me. They remember me. Sometimes they follow me to the car. And sometimes they sit on top of my car that is inside indoor parking, on top of the car, because there are dogs in the neighborhood and the dogs can't jump on top of the car, but the cat can. Yep, they remember me. The minute I open the door, they come. I don't know how they know. They may be on the other side of the house. They know. They remember me. I want to urge you, my dear brothers and sisters, to remember the following things. Number one, God chose Abraham and his seed and gave them an everlasting inheritance of more than one thing. An everlasting inheritance to be a holy priesthood, not to serve themselves, the Jewish people, but to serve the nations. God gave it to them. Remember that. Second of all, he gave them the land between the Euphrates River and the river of Egypt as an everlasting inheritance. Okay, I don't need the Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq, and the Sinai Desert, and Egypt, and all. I don't need all of that. I'll take the more humble inheritance that is from Dan to Beersheba and down all the way down to Elat. That's Yom Gaver, biblical name of Elat. And he took them out to exile, Babylonian exile for 70 years. Then Cyrus returned them from exile and gave them the money to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And then again, after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Yeshua and the fall of Jerusalem at the hand of the Romans, he took them out of the land. That's a prophecy in the New Testament, in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 21. And it's repeated then, alluded to at least then, in Paul's letters, especially Romans. Remember, the Jews didn't come here return after almost 2,000 years of exile back to this land on their own to push out the Arabs. They didn't push out the Arabs. Most of the land that that Israel occupies now was purchased by Baron Rothschild and by other rich Jews long before the Zionist thought of returning to this land. Yes, was purchased with money. All the Galilee was purchased by Dona Grazia from the Turks, from the Ottomans, before the Arabs were here, because most of the Arabs that were here at that time were serfs. They had no ownership of it. They were working as sharecroppers for rich Arabs that lived in Switzerland or in Paris or in Istanbul. Read Leon Uris's book, Hajj, if you want to know the history of this situation. But now we are dealing with an evil entity, we have no problem with the Arabs or with the Arab nations or with the Palestinians. Today, a dear, dear brother, not a believer, but a brother in the soul, Muslim, Jerusalemite, friend, called me because he found out that I have cancer in more than one place in the body. He and his wife called. And I consider him and his father saints. Yes. And I have Arab friends from childhood that are like my brothers. And Arab brothers in the faith who are my brothers. And I love them. And I love the Arab people that are peaceful and honest and godly, whether they're Muslim or Christian, doesn't make a difference as far as their godliness is concerned, their dedication to the good things in their constitution, in their faith. So my dear brothers and sisters, Remember who Israel is. What is Israel's commission for the world? To be the priesthood, the holy priesthood, to serve the world, to be a light to the nations. It's in Isaiah 42 and in Isaiah 49. Yes, Israel is the only nation in the world that is commissioned by God to be a light to all the nations of the world. And if you're a Christian, remember, you have an obligation, first of all, to God and to Yeshua, and second of all, you have an obligation to the Constitution, to the Bible, to the rule book, to the instructions that God gave you. If you are an anti-Semite, you are not a Christian. Because if you hate Jews, you also hate Jesus, the King of the Jews. And if you are a person who has a chance to bless the Jews, to share with the Jews, to support the Jews, to support the Jewish believers in Israel and in America and around the world, I think you ought to remember that Jesus is coming back. And he's not coming back to a Palestinian state. He's coming back to Israel. And he'll be enthroned on the throne of David. Still as King of the Jews. Yes. Please remember. Don't forget. God bless you. And Shalom.
Netivia International, www.netivyahinternational.org.